Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Beit, Perek Yutet. We were left yesterday with the horrible news in the eyes of David that Avshalom had indeed been killed, and we continue today with what appears on the surface to be an out-of-control and unfitting reaction to what had happened. Vayigaz ha-melech, vayal al-aliyat ha-shar vayev. And so the king was filled with anguish and got up in the open on the area that was built above the gateway. Vayev, and he cried, v'ko amar b'lechto, and he walked back and forth, and this is what he would say. V'ni Avshalom, v'ni, v'ni Avshalom, mi ten muti ani tachtecha Avshalom, v'ni, v'ni. My son Avshalom, my son Avshalom, if only I could have died in your place, Avshalom, my son. 8 times he mentions his son Avshalom. So that Chazal tell us a point of 8 times was that 7 times brought Avshalom as a tefillah up from the deepest 7th layer of Gehinnom, and after getting him out of hell itself, he brought him an 8th time into Olam Haba with this tefillah. And so people came to tell Yoav that the king was reacting in this way and was openly crying about his son's death, which of course was caused by Yoav himself. And that instead of celebrating victory, instead everyone felt that they had done a terrible thing. And so not only did they not feel victorious, but they went into mourning themselves. For all heard how profoundly the king mourned his son. And so they snuck back into their homes in the same fashion that psychologically a nation that had just lost a battle and had run from the battlefield would have snuck in instead of feeling victory. And so he continued to cry, the king, being mashlim with this, the 8 times of the Bnei Avshalom, covering his face as if he were deeply in avilut. And this Yoav could not stand, because he viewed it as a destruction of the entire victory and a slap in the face of those who had been loyal to David. And he went to the king in the house, Vayomer Hovashta Hayomet, Pnei Kol Avadecha, Hamemotim Et Nafshecha Hayom, V'Nefesh Banecha V'Notecha, V'Nefesh Nashecha V'Nefesh Bilakshecha. What you've done is shamed us, those of us who are loyal to you, to save not only your life, but the life of your children, the life of your daughters, the life of your wives, the life of your concubines. As you know, all of them would have been murdered by Avshalom. You said it yourself. This is the way that you live. To love sonecha, to love those who hate you, and to hate those, et ohavecha, those who love you. Ki garata hayom, ki inlecha sarim v'avadim. So that you essentially have said today openly that you have no officers and you have no loyal servants. That's essentially what you've told everyone. This is what you've told us, and I know it. If only Avshalom would be alive and all of us would have died, that would have been great in your eyes. Now morning, you get up and get out there and you speak to the people. Ki barunai nishbati, because I swear to God, ki ein chayotse, if you don't go out now, im yalin ishitcha halayla, there won't be one person that will stay with you tonight. Ra'alach hazot mikol ha'ah sheba'alech menurech adata. And the result will be an evil that will befall you greater than any evil from the time of your youth until today. And you've gone through a lot. Maybe it has something to do with what kind of person you are. Vayokam ha-melech v'yeshev b'shar. And so the king got up and sat at the gate. L'chol ha'am ha-gidu l'imor, hinei ha-melech yoshev b'shar. And so word went out. The king is at the gate sitting. Vayavo chol ha'am ifnei ha-melech. And so everyone came now from Yehuda to the king. V'yisrael nas ish ma'alav. And those who had been with Avshalom, they went and ran to their homes, fearing that now that the king is out, perhaps he will indeed attack those who attacked him. Now this is a very, very telling sentence, because what it does is it gives us insight into what was really going on. Until the king came out, it's rather strange that we don't mention the fact that Yisrael was Nasr al-Alav. I mean, when they had lost, that's the time to be Nasr al-Alav, and that's the time for the Pesach to mention it. What it seems to be pointing out over here is that it's at this moment that the king came out that the Nis al-Alav became significant. Because what the king had done, actually, by mourning in this fashion openly, was to heal the profound wound that had separated out now those who had been with Avshalom with those who had remained with David, by showing that indeed he did not view Avshalom as an alternative, but rather as Hushai Harki had pointed out at the time that he came to Avshalom. You are the king's son, and it is not disloyal to be with you. If it was wrong, it was an honest mistake, is what the king is saying. Poor Avshalom, he lost. What a shame, in a sense, for he was a tremendous person, suited indeed to be king. And those who followed him were nothing more than mistaken, if that. It's only now that he's threatened by Yoav, and going out in this fashion to deal with the people who had stayed with him, which in David's opinion he could have done at any time, that it becomes significant that all of those who had been defeated and who had been on the side of Avshalom had run away and feared indeed the results, which here was an incipient civil war that indeed comes to the fore tomorrow, entirely because of Yoav's interference. And so David's vision is a vision of, again, taking the derech of anava, being able to deal with those close to him later, but first making the tremendous impact that all should know. He doesn't view this as a victory. He views this as a personal tragedy, that he is friendly and supportive of all those who would have supported his beloved son, Avshalom. And so after word got out of the way that David had handled the Avshalom issue, everyone realized that they wanted David back. The alternative was disaster. They were left without Avshalom, without a king, and with only the horrors of what might follow. And so they argued with one another and encouraged one another, saying, "Hamelech hitzilonu mikaf oyveinu." It was the king who saved us from all of our enemies. "Umiltanu mikaf pelishtim." It was he who got us out of subjugation to the Plishtim. "Yata barach min haaretz me'al Avshalom." And now he's been forced to run away from the country because of Avshalom. If anything, that proves what a wonderful man he is. Instead of fighting, he could have fought Avshalom. He could have made a civil war. And instead, what he did is he chose to leave the country in order to avoid a fight. And now that Avshalom is gone, "Mi Avshalom asher mashachnu aleinu meit b'milchama." Apparently, we've been mistaken. And the Avshalom that we thought was Roy, it appears clear that David is still meant to be our king, for he has died in the war. What's taking so long? We have to go back and immediately restore the malchut. Meanwhile, obviously the impact of the way that David had reacted did not leave a very good taste into the Zikne Yehuda. And because of that, he had to send a message to Tzadok and Aviatar to try to reconnect Yehuda and Yosef, the other Shvatim. And so he sent a message through Tzadok and Aviatar, telling the Zikne Yehuda that it makes no sense for them to be the last. "Achai atem, atzmi usari atem, velamati yu achronim lashivet amelach." You are the closest to me, my very flesh and bones. Now, this, of course, is a dangerous, dangerous statement, because what he wants to do is to reconnect the two sections of the Am. The fact that he feels here compelled to talk to them about his own special relationship with them is an indication of a compromise in that position, which can only end up, in the end, causing him problems. And it does. "Vila Amasa tumru." And now speak to Amasa, the head of the army of Avshalom, and tell him, "Halo atzmi v'sariyata, you are my own flesh and blood." I swear to God, you are going to be the general of the army in place of Yoav, your cousin. And indeed, it's turned the heart of all of the people of Yehuda, and they sent to the king, "Come, come back." And so the king came back up until the Yarden. You note that he did not on his own willingly come back in a victorious procession. He waited David until he was called back. It is at this moment that indeed we find that the entire kilkel of the 40 years that was mentioned at the beginning of this story, Barabayim Shana, which is 40 years after the Bakashas HaMalchus, as we saw earlier, that this entire event happens, which makes it clear that the original problems in the Bakashat HaMalchut, that there was something artificial about the way that the Shilton HaMalchut had expressed itself, that is what had caused the merit of Shalom. It was the basis, indeed, of whatever was lacking in the fullness of David HaMelech. And therefore, David refused to utilize anything at all that would imply that it was his victory that had brought him to the Malchut. And just as he didn't want to go up to Yerushalayim until it was time, so too he didn't want to cross the Yarden to come back into Yerushalayim until there was a completely new basis for the Malchut. And this is that new basis. In exactly the same way that we find by Shaul, that there needed to be two separate times of coronation, in a sense. So that the original Meshichah, because of the fact that it was not accepted, was not considered to be really a true Malchut, and we needed to be Bo Nechadesh Shamat HaMelucha. So we had to go to this spot to be Mechadesh again, HaMelucha. So too by David, on a much higher level, did we finally come to recognize that whatever was lacking in the original Malchut David needed now Chidush HaMelucha, and comes back now to this spot, in the crossing over of the Yarden, to become now the beginning of the true Malchut of David, in which everyone would bring him to be the Melech. And so he waited there in Gilgal, and indeed Yehuda came to Gilgal to cross over with the king, the Yarden, and even the head of Binyamin. Astoundingly, Shimi ben Gera, the very man who had cursed the Ish Hadamim, the Ish Bali Ya'al, who had thrown stones and dirt on their heads, and who was the great source of the pain of David's Derech Anava, he himself, the leader, came down to Mibachurim, together with all of those from Yehuda to meet David, the Elef Ish Mobi Binyamin, along with 1,000 men from Binyamin, Vetziva Nar Bet Shaul, and even Tziva, who came from the very home of Shaul, and had run his household, the Chameshet Asar Banav, the Srima Vadavito, and all of Tziva's household with him, Vitzolchu Hayarden, Lifnei HaMelech, and crossed over the Yarden in front of the king. And what they did in order to be the first, in order to show their complete commitment to the king, they were the ones who actually loaded and pulled the boat across the Yarden for the family of the king, in order to do what was good in his eyes and to find favor. Vishimi ben Gera nafal lifnei hamelech ba'avro b'Yarden, and as the king crossed over the Yarden, Shimi ben Gera fell flat on his face. Vayomre al hamelech, al yachashov li adoni avon, v'al tizkor et asher he'avavdecha, v'yom asher yatza adoni hamelech mirushalayim, v'sum hamelech elibo. Please, he said, do not consider my master what I did to be a sin. For I understand that what I did on the day that you went out from Yerushalayim, ki adav decha ki ani chatati, I understand that I had sinned. Vinevati ayom rishon l'chol beit Yosef, l'redet likrat Adoni HaMelech. And it is I now who comes first and foremost of all of the Beit Yosef to come and to greet you back. And of course, these words were words that were profoundly meaningful in many ways. As the Medrash tells us, one of his ramazim was just as Yosef greeted his brothers and forgave them for what they had done to him, so too now, when Yosef, I, that is to say, Beit Yosef, had wronged Yehuda, now is the time for Yehuda to forgive Yosef and to treat us the way that Yosef had treated his brothers and Yehuda. But there's also elements here, of course, of recognizing the power and the meaning of how central it would be for David to forgive now Beit Yosef. For if he, the head of Beit Yosef, or the 1,000 of the leading citizens of Binyamin, were to be turned aside by David, and perhaps even killed by David's army, that would be the open declaration of civil war, whose incalculable consequences are beyond our imagination in terms of what might have happened to Jewish history. David, of course, understands and grasps this immediately. But the Bnei Tzruya, they take the natural course. Vayana Avishai ben Tzruya vayomer, tachazot lo yumat Shimi, ki hilel et Mashiach Adonai, because of these ridiculous words, the king is now going to let Shimi get away with this? After cursing, and we waited, and you said, let us accept it today? Vayomer David, you guys get me sick. Ma'aliv alachem b'nei Tzruya, ki tiyu li hayom le'satan. What is it that I've done to you? What is it between us, this hatred, that everything that you do has this subconscious, clear direction of trying to destroy everything that I'm trying to achieve? You want to be now the foil for my achievements. Hayom yumat ish b'Yisrael. Do you think that it's normal for us to consider now punitive measurements today? Ki lo yadati ki hayom ani melech l'Yisrael. It's only now, for the first time, that we've achieved today the Malchut in which everyone comes together. Until now, I was certain that someone as great as Shimi would never have said what it is that he said unless I was forever doomed. And with these words, he comes back and he shows me that he did the Teshuvah. It's his words that make me Melech, and you say that I should kill him. The beautiful remez in the Medrash is that Ish, the Israel, is a remez to Ish, Yehudi, and that Ish is Mordechai. And of course, Mordechai and Esther come from Shimi ben Gera in the schutz of what it is that his wife had done in saving the two boys who were the spies for David, the sons of Tzadok ve'Aviatar. And in a sense, this is Ruach HaKodesh that has at this moment the coming back and the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash itself. So indeed, as the Medrash says, Shimi basically was telling him, all of Klal Yisrael is waiting to see, as it says in Amos, Ulai Yechanen Hashem Elokeitz Vakot She'erit Yosef. They're waiting to see how it is that you are going to treat me. So Kol Yisrael Yoshvim U'mekavim Eze Chesed Atosemi. And if you're Mekabo, me, then Kol Yisrael Ba'im U'mashlimim Imcha. Then I tell you right now that everyone will be back here in a flash. And that's why he says, Hinei Bati Hayom Rishon L'chol Beit Yosef. So he's made it very clear. He's not pulling any punches, Shimi. He understands that there is a very profound reason for David to accept his words. It goes right by the Bnei Tzruya. Vayomer HaMelech El Shimi Lo Tamut. I promise you, you will not die. Vayishavalo HaMelech. He swears to him. Amasa managed to bring all of Yehuda to him, as we saw before. Shimi Ben Gera is in a position to bring all of Israel to him. And so far, everything is victorious. There are a few dangerous problems that are left. One problem we've already seen that has raised its ugly head is the fact that it's clear that Bnei Yehuda have problems with the way that David is handling all of this. First of all, they don't like the fact that he is looking to heal this wound in a way that puts Bnei Yosef first. Secondly, it's clear that all along now, there is a feeling that perhaps there's not enough connection to Yehuda, and that the king's turning his back on what was once family and home. He's building his new capital of Brasilia in Yerushalayim. His focus on a Beis HaMikdash that would be built in a place that was lo nischalka l'shvartim at all is very similar to the type of lahavdil, the type of feelings that took place early on in the history of the United States when the question of the centrality of the federal government as opposed to the shvartim, the states, became now the source of a civil war. And it is here, indeed, that the same issue raises its head in Klal Yisrael itself. But the next thing that is dangerous is the way that David is going to deal with those who are very close to him. For it's there that people see the way in which one has to behave when close to the king, and the way in which the king is perhaps overly generous with those that he feels personally close to. Remember that one thing that a king cannot afford, especially at the moment of the assertion of the kingdom, is to be an individual with individual likes and individual suspicions. Mephibosheth ben Shaul yirad likrat hamelech v'lo asar aglav v'lo asa sefamo v'begadav lo chibes v'min hayom lechet hamelech ad hayom ha'shabav v'shalom. And so too did Mephibosheth, who had not come together with Ziva when David was leaving, and Ziva came and brought food. Mephibosheth came to greet the king, and he came looking like he was an absolute wreck. He hadn't washed, he hadn't shaved, he hadn't cleaned his clothes from the day that the king had left until today that he was coming back in peace. And so, as he came into Yerushalayim to greet the king, Mephibosheth, how is it that you didn't go out of Yerushalayim? If you were loyal to me, would you not have left? Would you have stayed there, thinking that you were safe? Vayomar, Aduni HaMelech, Avdi Rimani. It was my servant Ziva, said Mephibosheth, who fooled me. Ki amar avdecha b'shali achamor v'erkav alev elech et HaMelech kifiseach avdecha. For I had ordered him, get me ready a donkey, and put me on, and I'm going to ride with the king. For as you know, your servant is lame. Vayoregayo be'avdecha l'Aduni HaMelech. And instead, he lied and said, Lashon Hara to you, Aduni HaMelech kimalach Elohim yaseh atov be'enecha. I don't need to argue my point, for you are as an angel, and you can do whatever it is that you think is right. I know that there was nothing that I have except as you gave it to me. For as far as the norms would have been concerned, my entire family, anyone that had come from Beit Shaul, or is dead meat in front of you. And instead, Vatashet et avdecha ba'ochlei shulchanecha, you put me amongst those who would be with you on the royal table. Umay yesh li o tzedakav lizok odeh ha-melech. What additional favors could I possibly ask of you? And to scream further, to demand anything from you. I know that you told Tziva that he can take everything. And if that's what you wish to do, may it be so. Why are you continuing to talk so much? What I've said is that you and Tziva should split the field. Let him have the whole thing. As far as I'm concerned, the only thing that's important is that my master has come into his home. Now this was the beginning of true disaster. For as we know, Chazal take this meaning and the words Atav Tziva Techalku Et Asadeh to be the beginning of the end for Malchut Beit Yehuda and for the Shlemus of Yisrael. And it was at this moment that a bat kol came out, according to the Gemara, and said at this moment, you say Atav Tziva Techalku Et Asadeh, what's going to happen is that your children are going to split the Malchus. And let Yerovam and Rehovam split the Malchus between the Aseres Hashvatim and Yehuda. Centuries and centuries of war and misery that result in the end in the Galut of all of Yisrael in stages. And so here there's a machloket in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel as to whether what David HaMelech had done was based on nothing but Lashon Hara, on the fact that Tziva had originally told him the story. And at that moment, it's true, he said, I give you everything, that is Mephibosheth. But that isn't necessarily a final committed stand, because it was clear that at that time he didn't have that power to do so, and that he was telling him, if this is true, then essentially this is what I will do for you. But it wasn't really a giving. That's at least how Rashi understands it. So the only problem now is how, in the end, is he going to define what happened. So the question here is, was there a reason for him to, at this point, not take the whole thing back now that he had seen Mephibosheth? So according to Shmuel, he felt that what he had seen in Mephibosheth and detected in the words of Mephibosheth was dishonesty. That the fact that Mephibosheth had not made himself presentable in coming to greet David, and the fact that he had not come, and that his only problem was not getting Tziva to get him a chamor, as if there was no possible way for him to in any way get out of the house, seems a little bit absurd. And then there was the underlying sense of harshness in what he had said to the king, a sense of sarcasm, which Chazal are aimed on, in which they say, I have nothing, the words that he was saying, I have nothing to complain about, meaning it's not to you that I have to complain about, it's to the Melech that I have to complain about, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who brought you back and who allowed you to do this to me. So there was an underlying anger and hatred between them. And this was what it was that David was sumech on when he said to split it. But not only that, there was an indication over here also of a lack on David's part, a willingness to listen to the whole thing through. The way the Malbim understands it, having once said to Tziva, you take it all, he couldn't possibly just take it back, in the sense that we see by Ahasuerus, once a Melech says something, in Lahashiv, all you can do is redefine it, and here too is redefining it. Halo Amarti, look, that's what I meant when I said take it, meaning you can take a piece in all that belongs to Mephibosheth, but I didn't really give it to him completely. But this idea of not having the patience to see it through to the end and of giving on-the-spot responses was something that frightened people and was the beginning of the end for the complete belief in the Mishpat Tzedek of David. And it was understood that he was very demanding of those with whom he was closest. And this is scary. So that at the same time that his anger at the Bnei Tzruya came out and he gave away everything to Amasa, his anger at those who were from Beit Shaul, who were close to him, came out, and he gave away half of the Suda to Tziva. Now, too, further, with Barzillai HaGiladi, David exposes his overcommitment to those who were personally loyal and close to him. Uvarzillai HaGiladi Yarad Miroglim Vayavor Et HaMelech HaYarden L'Shalcho Et HaYarden. So Barzillai HaGiladi came down from Roglim and went over the Yarden together with David to basically be Malavim and see him off at the Yarden. Now at that point, Barzillai was very old. He wasn't really ready to get back involved in the political scene. Barzillai zaken ma'od, ben 80 shana, v'hu chilkal et ha-melech b'shivato b'machanayim ki'ish gadol hu ma'od. He had taken care of all of the needs of the king while the king was in Machanayim. And he was a very great man, extremely wealthy. V'yomer ha-melech el Barzillai, Makata avoriti vechokalti osfa imadi b'Yerushalayim. Why don't you come with me and let me take care of you the way you took care of me? I will care for all your needs in Yerushalayim. Vayomer Barzilai Alamelech. What's the point of this? Kama yemei shnei chayai. How many years do I have left to live anyway? Ki eileh et hamelech Yerushalayim. Men 80 shana anochi hayom. Hayedad min tov l'ra. Im yita'am avdecha et asher ochal et asher ashteh. Im eshma od bekol sharim v'sharot. V'lama yeh avdecha od l'masa l'aduni hamelech. I'm 80 years old. You think I know the difference anymore between good and bad? I can't even tell the difference between good food and bad food. If you want me to be an advisor, I don't know the difference between a good Eitzah and a bad Eitzah anymore. I've outlived my time. And the Gemara says that this isn't true in terms of a typical 80-year-old, but because somebody who is Shotif and Znut loses the sensitivities of his senses. That's why he was saying this. But there were certainly, even in Rebbe's house, there were certainly people who worked in the kitchen who were a lot older than this, and who could very, very well tell as connoisseurs the differences between good and bad food and drinks. But you think I know the difference to be able to tell whether someone is singing well or poorly, being male or female? Why should I be a burden on you? No, I think that I will kimad yavo avdecha tayardenet ha-melech v'lami yigvileni ha-melech ha-gimula hazot. I think the best thing to do is for me to cross with you a little bit as we go over the Yarden. Well, what would be the point of your giving me this reward? As far as your servant me is concerned, I will go back and die in my hometown, near the grave of my own father and mother. And what I would ask, therefore, would be, what I would ask is for your servant, Chimham, my son. Do this for him, not for an old man like me. And do for him anything that you had chosen, that you had wished to do. And so the king said, indeed, Chimham will come with me. I will do for him whatever you think is best. And anything else that you would ask of me to do, I will do for you. And so all crossed the Yarden, and at that point the king kissed Barzilai, blessed him, and he went back home and walked together with his son Chimham. And so at that point Chimham was with him, all of the people from Yehuda, half of the people of Yisrael. Vine kol ish Yisrael, ba'im el ha-melech, v'ayom el ha-melech, madu ha-genavucha, achinu ish Yehuda, v'yaviru et ha-melech, v'et beto et ha-yardin, v'chol anshei David imo. Why is this sudden change, that now you're giving all of the honors over to your family in Yehuda, your brothers, just because you come from Yehuda? It seems as if the ones closest to you, the ones that are bringing you back, are only those that come from Yehuda, and there's no place for all of us. And if they kidnapped you to make you their own, Yan Kolish Yuda Alish Israel Ki Karov HaMelech Elai. Look, this is just a natural thing. I mean, he's related to us, but it's not as if there's any political advantages here. What exactly makes you so angry about this? I mean, Hacholach Alma Min HaMelech. In the Satan Salam, what, we taken things from the king? Did he give us special privileges that you're upset? Vayan ish Yisrael is ish Yehuda vayomer. Esri adot li vamelech. Vegam de miravid ani mimcha. We have 10 times as much share in this melech, despite the fact that he may be David and comes from your family. Umadua kelitani. Why then do you treat me so lightly? Lo haya devari rishon li la shivet malki. Did it not first come from us that we were the first ones down to bring back the king? And what happened is that the arguments, and of course we're not given the details of the arguments, but the arguments between Bnei Yehuda and Bnei Yisrael got tougher and tougher until the words of Yehuda were harsher than the words of the Bnei Yisrael. According to Chazal, as Rashi explains, actually showed them the letter that David had sent to them, so that there was a great deal here of manipulation, as to the presence of the Kerech of the Shevet within the Melech, something that could only have horrific consequences. And indeed, in tomorrow's parak, we shall see the beginning of those consequences.